This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NBA headed down the stretch of its season. The top six teams in each conference are locked into the playoffs. Teams 7 through 10 have to play their way into the 7th and 8th seed. Gil Alexander on a numbers game says, be wary of trying to use a team's motivation in your handicap at this point of the NBA season.
What we think is important as sports fans is often not what teams think. Are important. So the Nets, they didn't have LaMarcus Aldridge because Aldridge had, you know, some still effects from non-COVID-19 illness. Blake Griffin injury management day with an ongoing knee issue. So no LaMarcus Aldridge for that reason. Blake Griffin also on an injury management day. Kevin Durant, as Steve Nash said, the tricky balance of just sort of ramping him up still. And so the only one of the big three that was in there was Kyrie. He had a good game, but with about 9 minutes left in the game, the Nets were down 19 points, and the Nets took out Kyrie at that point. He was like, okay, we're not winning this game. And the Nets backups proceeded to just make a run at the Sixers. So if there's ever, and there's no, we don't deal in moral victories here when we talk betting, but if there was ever a moral victory or a message sent, the Nets playing no one played the Sixers, who were playing everyone to the brink. But the point for bettors ought to be this. As the postseason approaches and you think these teams care about seeding necessarily, unless it's targeting a team that is somehow hampered by injury, maybe the Nuggets will fall into that category. We'll see how they play here post Jamal Murray. Maybe there's some jockeying in the West to get to play the Nuggets. But other than that, these teams up at the top, they don't care if they're one. They don't care if they're two. So don't factor that stuff into your betting.
Gil Alexander on a numbers game. Weekdays, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSiN. Cautioning bettors to try to determine team motivation when betting the NBA at this time of the season. On Lombardi Line, VSiN's Michael Lombardi says he's hearing Kyle Pitts will go number 4 to the Falcons in the NFL draft.
What I'm told, that at 4, it's going to be Kyle Pitts. That's what people in the league think it's going to be, Kyle Pitts.
Really?
Mostly, I would say 98% of the league believe the 49ers are taking Mac Jones. And, you know, for all the talk about Justin Fields having a great workout, you know, there's people in the league that don't think it was a great workout. Now, maybe those are the people who aren't drafting a quarterback. I don't know. But let's leave Fields out of the conversation for a moment. I'm told Jamar Chase is the pick for the Bengals at 5. Which then leaves the Dolphins at 6. And the Dolphins are talking all about skill players. They're not talking about an offensive lineman. They're not going to take Sewell at 6. They're not going to take an offensive lineman. So that puts Sewell at 7. Would they take him there? Would be the best offensive lineman Detroit's had in a long, long time. They should. I mean, Carolina will take him at 8. But Sewell's prop, I think, is at 6.5, right?
Sewell's prop right now. I'll give you that number on Penny Sewell, 6.5. The under is favored slightly at 140.
I'd go over there. I would take a shot on the over there.
The spring sports schedule is heating up, and we're analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing each and every day. And our NFL experts are preparing for the 2021 NFL draft with insights on trades and evaluating top picks and looking at prop betting opportunities. Now's the time to get Point Spread Weekly, our daily best bet subscriber-only email, and the latest odds and data at VSiN.com. Start your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
If you thought there was a sports betting offseason, think again. The winning side pays the same for a baseball game or a football championship, and our team grinds year-round to help improve your betting IQ on every sport. We have experts in baseball, hockey, golf, basketball, NASCAR, and horse racing to provide you the best betting insights and analysis. Start your free trial today and put our experts to work for you at vsin.com/subscribe.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It's hour number two right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas are your hosts today. James, in Major League Baseball, the Astros and the Mariners are going at it a little bit later. Your thoughts on that game? I mean, the Mariners have been interesting, but so have the Astros, certainly with their IL situation.
Yeah, and that's the key piece, right? Who's going to be available in the lineup? And it's too early to try to project that out. Now we can look at, I'm trying to find the, pull up their roster here and see if there's any other insight. And ultimately it looks like, I mean, there's so many, it was such a widespread issue through their locker room. And We know that affected their lineup the last couple games. But a couple of them, it looks like Bregman and Altuve potentially could be back. Again, it's estimated return, which is the 16th tonight. But then Maldonado's down, and Jordan Alvarez is down. So, and those ones aren't projected to come back for a few days. So I think that's the key here. I think with Seattle, you know, where are the Astros right now? Just got swept by Detroit. And yeah, we know you had COVID go, and that was a major impact to your team for sure. But now you're going to go on the road, and you know, the every team is going to take a piece of the Astros. It's going to be something that you're going to look at. Yeah, they're a division contender for sure, but just the everything that happened with the World Series and all the cheating scandal, et cetera, you're going to get their best effort from their opponents each and every night. So one of the things I was looking at here, I was looking at Kikuchi for the pitcher here, the starters going for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to probably need him to pitch tonight. They're going to need some innings out of him. You know, Seattle just had a doubleheader yesterday, and I know doubleheaders are only 7 innings, so it wasn't like it was real taxing on the bullpen yesterday with playing the doubleheader like it normally would playing 2 9-inning games. But, you know, even though you're traveling all back across town, and I think really Kikuchi here, I think he's a little bit of a different pitcher now. It seems like he's got a little uptick in velocity on his fastball, has a good cutter mixed in there that he can throw and keep you off balance here. So figured he's going to have to eat some innings potentially. And with the Astros, maybe the Astros step into the box tonight and trying to hit that 3-run homer with nobody on base and redeem themselves from getting swept at home. So maybe a little over aggressiveness from the Stros tonight, especially we'll see what that lineup looks like. But I did find a prop here with Kikuchi at 5.5 strikeouts over 5.5 strikeouts plus $1.20. I think he's going to be able to throw some innings. He does have pretty good stuff, and maybe a little extra effort from the Astros to be a little more aggressive to try to make up for the fact that they just got hammered at home by the bad Tigers team. That might be probably the play that I'm looking at here, the only play and the only matchup I'm looking at. Kikuchi going over 5.5 Ks at plus $1.20.
Okay, you got Seattle 8-5 too. I mean, how long? A team of prospects, Kikuchi, you mentioned him out there on the bump, but not how long do you ride out with these prospects, but the fast start or the decent start, I guess, that the Mariners have right now is intriguing to me.
Yeah, and a few veterans mixed in there. Seager's always a good influence in that clubhouse. So, you know, so they've got it's definitely a young team, and it's a team in rebuild mode. And so you don't want to get too far in front of it, just knowing that, yeah, it's a very young season. And, you know, a bit of a challenging schedule playing the White Sox and the Twins early and a lot of road games, a really long road trip, even though weather was definitely an impact during the last week and a half while they were on the road. But, you know, that's the one thing with young kids getting their opportunities. You know they're going to play hard. hard. Not a lot of book on some of these hitters. I think as the season progresses, though, that's what happens, right? Now you have pro scouts. You're getting scouted at the pro level, not just what you've done in the, you know, in the minor leagues. And now you can write a book on the, as far as the scouts go, start writing that pro scouting book on you. And then that's when you start to see teams, the pitchers adjust to these young hitters up there. But for right now, you know, being able to, they're playing competitive baseball, playing hard. And I think you're going to see that anytime you're early in the season, you're going to see that all the teams, but especially young guys that are getting their opportunities, definitely added incentive that they want to show that they belong here. They belong in the show and they want to stay in the show. Yeah. So, but I don't want to back them here with the Mariners. Not sure what's going to happen with that Astros lineup, but definitely like Kikuchi to be able to extend some innings because they need it out of him from the doubleheader. And he's got the potential to, as a strikeout pitcher. I like the matchup here with the aggressiveness from the Astros. I'll take my chances there at over 5.5 Ks plus the juice on my side.
All right, let's get to the big boy, shall we? The Dodgers, Padres. Here we go. We got San Diego. They're the home dog, plus 135. The total 8. We know how dogs have been barking, helping out bettors lately, but this is a different kind of situation here for the dog. But it's the Dodgers. It's the Padres. James, what do you have?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is what we're waiting for. We got 19 of these games starting tonight. Right. This is going to be, it's must see. If you're interested in baseball, this is must see TV when we're watching this matchup each and every night. These teams don't like each other. Tons of hype, tons of moves, lots of money invested. Terrific, you know, terrific teams, tons of talent everywhere. Now, game by game, that's the issue if we're looking to bet here. And you're looking at the Padres. I mean, Ryan Weathers gets the start. Young kid coming out as a reliever. Not many innings pitched. First start in the bigs. And now you're going to go against this lineup for the Dodgers. That's a challenge there. How long is Weathers going to go, right? Does he go, do they try to get him through the order one time? I mean, it's really, to me, it's obviously a bullpen game for the Padres, and don't really like the bullpen overall for the Padres either. And, you know, and got kind of taxed yesterday with that series, you know, the whole series really with the Pirates that they went into was kind of and somewhat of a slugfest for a lot of those games. So now you're going to come and the young kid's going to come play, face this Dodgers team. You know, I know Bueller's on the mound and the total's sitting here at 8, but I just feel like the numbers, and there's plenty of numbers and analytics to go along with baseball, and absolutely understand that. But then sometimes you get a game like this, and this is going to feel like a rivalry game, which it is, and it's going to feel like a playoff game, which it's not. But just feel like here with maybe Bueller, I was looking at a few props, and I know he can be he is a strikeout pitcher, and I was looking at the strikeouts, but I didn't like the number that I was sitting at. But maybe the outs here, and I thought that was maybe the out that I would read. Are they going to, you know, I don't trust the Dodgers bullpen, but I don't know. I feel like the Padres are big series, Pritch. I'm not going to play a side. The Dodgers, you know, pretty good favorite, and I get it with the bullpen series or the what's going to happen as far as, let's just call it an opener for the Padres with Ryan Weathers going. But big number for the Dodgers to lay here on the road and what's going to be a fun series to watch. I'm looking forward to it from that standpoint. But I think I'm going to go kind of a little outside the norm here. And actually, the juice has moved now. It's moved against me here. I was looking at Bueller and playing the outs, right? So how deep can he go into this game? And it's sitting at 17.5, and now it's juiced to the under at $1.20. So it wasn't there. It was even money prior when I looked at this. I think that's the route I'm going to go with this game. To put some money on the game, that's probably the only play I'm going to make. I'm gonna say Padres are going to hit him. I think they're going to hit him. I think Tatis may be back, maybe a bit rusty because he's been out. We'll see. But regardless, I think Padres are going to swing the bat, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. Bueller at under 17.5 outs, juiced at $1.20. Can he get through, and can he make it to 6 innings? I'm going to say the Padres are going to second time through the order. I think they're going to hit the baseball. I think both teams are going to hit the baseball, so maybe play the over at 8, but I like Bueller better here. I don't think he makes it all the way to the 6th inning.
Okay, the Padres is a top 5 hitting team. The Dodgers is the number 1 hitting team right now. And so Weathers could be up against it, but I think the guys, the fellas are going to be juiced up for this game. I mean, when you know, not only within your division, okay, here's the Padres, they think they can chase us, they think they can catch us, you're going to be amped up for this. I mean, the whole series, you got Kershaw and Darvish, you got Snell versus Bauer the whole entire weekend. So a little bit extra energy for this matchup between the Dodgers and the Padres.
Well, and the Dodgers were able to set their rotation just for this series, right? And so, yeah, with the Padres, they don't have that luxury. They're not nearly as deep on their rotation the way that the Dodgers are as deep there with their starting staff. So I think that's where this game here, I think that's where the hitters coming in for the Padres know that, hey, we're going to probably need to put some runs on the board. Young kid getting the start or the opener, whatever we want to call it in today's baseball, where we know Weathers isn't going to go deep into this game. And they're not expecting him to go deep in this game. It's really going to be a bullpen game for the young kid going out there to get the opening start. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just feel like there's going to be I'm excited for it. This is going to be a fun baseball game to watch. I think we've been thinking about it and talking about it a lot from the offseason, and now we're finally here to this point. That's the only angle I can come up with, because I don't want to lay $1.50 with the Dodgers on the road, even though the starting pitching matchup at least definitely is in favor of the Dodgers, and I get why the number is sitting where it's at.
Okay, total 8. Over is -115 out here in Vegas. Juiced up a little bit right there. Let's get back to these NFL props, team props. So let's go to pick number 5, the Cincinnati Bengals. A position of the first player drafted. I mean, high probability is going to be offensive, right? So offensive line +140, receiver +165, tight end +225 right there for those odds, James.
Yeah, it just feels like as far as that one's concerned, is it almost a given that if Ja'Marr Chase is there, are they going to reunite him with Joe Burrow? I mean, mm-hmm. Chase is a spectacular player, and he's there. And is that what they – I mean, the Bengals have a ton of needs, right? I think offensive line. I was saying that. We talked about that all season long. Like, you're having Burrow, young kid, out there dropping back, throwing the football 40, 45, sometimes 50 times a game. It was only a matter of time till the kid got banged up. Unfortunately, that's what happened for the season with the knee injury that went down. So, yeah, offensive line, I think, is their biggest need. But you got to energize your fan base out there in Cincinnati, too. They haven't had much to get fired up about for a while. So you get a spectacular player like Ja'Marr Chase to come in, reunite with his former teammate at LSU with Joe Burrow. It seems like if it falls that way, I can't see how the Bengals would pass on that. What say you?
Well, I mean, you saw Burrow go down with that injury like you said, he's throwing the ball so many times a game, and you need to protect him. And therefore, you have the offensive lineman +140, but receiver, they don't have A.J. Green there anymore, right? So +165 to reunite Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And so those two young guys can kind of grow together. And plus, maybe you're thinking you can find another tackle later on in the draft. But Sewell is just such a prospect. I mean, that maybe he's kind of hard to pass over, though.
Right. Yeah, and so is that the way you're leaning? You think they go offensive lineman? I mean, I think that's the biggest need for sure.
Yeah, that's the
you
need,
keep,
right?
Burrow's a talent. Yeah. Burrow's a talent. The kid's a gamer. We definitely saw that. He is not afraid, right? He stepped in there, and he was like, now. And he took a beating early, mm-hmm. too, and a lot of it because of the offensive line. But we saw the toughness out of the kid. There's no question there. The kid can play, and he's going to hopefully comes back as healthy as he can be from that knee injury. But
right.
The kid can play in the league. So, yeah, you want to protect him, and you have a prospect like Sewell sitting there to protect that left side of him, protect that blind side for Burrow. Need for sure. Fan base and what gets them excited, does how much of an influence is that? Does that matter too, especially when you're looking at the leadership there with the Bengals and the coaching staff, and we know they want to get out there and sling the football around. Yeah. I think you got to try to – there's so many things that you have to dig into with what they're thinking as opposed to just saying, especially tons of holes like the Bengals have. There's a need. We got a great prospect at left tackle. Let's sew that up, and we're good for the next decade.
Well, in that division, too.
We also need to – and the pass rushes and what we see – exactly right. And Pittsburgh, all three of those
Baltimore,
teams, you know,
mm-hmm.
Cleveland can, yes, Baltimore getting after it too. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to bet it, but that's where we have to start thinking about these teams. And, you know, they're going to do things that you wouldn't, you have to handicap what is the motive for this, for the franchise as well. And maybe it's just bigger than trying to start looking at, you got to energize your fan base, right? They got excited about Burrow, unfortunately got hurt. What else is going to excite them? Because we still need to put some people in the seats too. And yeah, offensive tackle, huge need, great player, but Does that sell tickets? I don't know if that sells tickets, but you get the. There's plenty of storyline when you right. Plenty of storyline when you go back to the LSU tandem with Ja'Marr Chase, with Chase and with Burrow. Whenever hopefully he can come back at some point next year and play. But plenty of storylines there to put out there and drafts to put out to your season ticket holders or potential season ticket holders to blow out there and plenty of highlights to package with that as well. When you're talking about selling tickets, I don't know if your left tackle sitting in there. Awesome highlights to packages when it comes to selling tickets, though, Pritch.
Well, I tell you what, James, Pitts makes his draft very, very interesting because we did picks 4, 5, and now we're going to do number 6. And so if you go back to number 4, the tight end was plus 160. The fifth pick, the tight end, is plus 225. And here you got the Miami Dolphins. The tight end's plus 260, right behind receiver at plus 100 for their first pick right there at the 6th overall pick.
Yeah, is he there?
I don't know.
It starts with number 4, right? Mm-hmm. What do the Falcons do? That's if you're looking at that, you have all of this is so correlated, right? And so not only do you have to try to figure out where would the Dolphins, where we know they want to go for offense, and you want to get they need help at another team that needs a lot of help, but definitely at the receiver and tight end was as far as Pitts go, terrific talent. And need to find some player makers out there, and there's plenty of playmakers there sitting at 6, but who comes off the board at 4? Does somebody even trade up to go to 4 and come and snag one of those quarterbacks, right? Did the Broncos move up to 4? What are they going to do at their position and feel like, do they need to get aggressive and try to get a quarterback? And they've been swinging and missing on quarterbacks since Peyton Manning left. That's the speculative nature of all of this, right? Because it's not just what do the Dolphins do in this position. What does everybody else do in front of them? That's the challenge, and not enough bang for my buck sitting here. Receiver plus 100 and tight end plus 260 for me to put that risk out before the draft starts. Not enough odds for me to have to be that clairvoyant. I'm not clairvoyant enough to figure that out right now, and not enough price for me to be able to make a bet.
It's a crapshoot, James. You don't have to be clairvoyant, right? It's just rolling the dice here and see what happens. But highly intriguing, though. I mean, all these offensive players in those top 5, 6 picks. How about after that? Can we see a defensive player go in the top 10? That's coming up next. In the middle of its move to Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod originates from Tulsa, Oklahoma. There is discussion of horse racing issues and tips for Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville very well, Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby talks about what he has learned from a troublesome time the last 2 years, and trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss a Monomoy girl and this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts, and is sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, so based on odds here, that's why I was kind of suggesting that maybe the odds are telling us that we could see a defensive player go in the top 10, actually. And maybe this pick, too, the 8th overall to Carolina, is where we get a bigger bang for our buck as bettors on this year's NFL draft. So offensive linemen's plus 165. I don't know. Carolina, they could do that. They got Darnold now. Cornerback, plus 280 in front of quarterback, of course, plus 450. But then linebacker at plus 600. You know, you look at Carolina and what they might need if they filled the need with quarterback with Darnold, but yet you might need some more impact players. Sitting there at 8, the impact players could be on the defensive side of the ball.
It could be. I just think last year that's everything they chose, right? Every draft pick was a defensive player. So it's definitely a young Sam and lot to continue to work through on that defensive side, but is that the route you go again? Do you go defense again? I guess this is where a point where Yeah, where is Carolina going? Yeah, you got Darnold. Are you satisfied with Darnold there? You made the move, and is this your guy? And you were let's try to protect him. Yeah, they need offensive line help too. I think it's as far as the, you know, looking at the rest of the positions here. I mean, to me, yeah, you need help at corner, but they really need. I thought Carolina really needed with Burns on one side, decent pass rusher, but not a lot of pass rush, not a lot of threat for a pass rush. Although I don't think there's really anybody sitting there that you would reach up for all the way to eight that would say this is a dominant pass rusher here. So maybe Pritch, maybe it's corner. I know there's a couple good corners that there's speculation that how high are they going to go. I know Dallas is covered, definitely coveting a defensive position, and corner has been talked about a lot for the Cowboys. Yeah, maybe it's the Panthers. It's so hard to, for me, I just struggle with, all right, well, you did this last year and you did nothing but all defensive, drafted on the defensive side. Yeah, when are you going to start looking at the offense, especially offensive-minded coaches there with Rule and Brady, and they're ready to get started. Let's get some. let's build this offense and start. And knowing that they got to start at the line of scrimmage, and maybe if it's as Sewell, if the Lions take Sewell, if Sewell's there for that tackle position for the Lions, they definitely need help at that offensive line. That leaves maybe is it Slater from Northwestern? I think could they go offensive lineman? I would think they should, but yeah, corner is definitely it's always a need, and in this day and age of the NFL, corner and lockdown corners helps you. If you're lacking pass rush, always helps to have good corners that you know can cover and buy you some time to create some other kind of pass rush too. So I can see that potentially, right, at the corner spot, plus 280, that's a pretty good number.
Well, looking at their offensive line too, they have a couple of second-round picks up there, young guys from 2019. They have Paredes from Denver playing center. Right there as well. You know, it gets kind of intriguing when you think about Carolina, because you circle back around with that draft, James, and they're picking in the second round 39. You know, could they trade up from that standpoint too if they see a tackle out there? So making an impact at number eight, you wonder where the Carolina Panthers could be leaning. Probably not receiver. They got DJ Moore, and I think they got Robbie Anderson. So I don't know if they would be looking for another receiver that high. Maybe. That is right now plus 900.
Yeah, and offensive-minded coaches there, right, with the Carolina Panthers, and another one trying to inspire and light a fire into their fan base too. And we got our quarterback. We've got some talent. We'll have McCaffrey, hopefully comes back fully healthy. Was really beat up last year. So plenty of things to package when it comes to marketing your team, and it's all about the offense, right? I deal with a lot of marketing, and I know you're trying to sell tickets and inspire your fan base to purchase tickets to go, because you're able to come back to the stadium this year, hopefully at close to full capacity, if not full capacity, right? But yeah, I mean, corner is definitely an issue. I think they went with, didn't they sign Boye? I don't know if Boye is. Yeah, they did. They did sign AJ Boye. So I don't know. This is another one that looking at the Panthers. I don't know. Did we expect the Panthers to go all defense last year? Probably not.
No.
So,
yeah.
If there's anything that a team that we don't know what's going to happen, that's probably the Panthers. They fit that bill for the draft as well.
All right. Coming up next, our VP of digital content, Ben Fox, joins the program to help us out with the betting market and some information about betting across America. That's coming up next. With all the spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start is VSiN.com, where we are covering baseball, the NHL, and NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While on VSiN.com, get all the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory. And you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. We invite you to VSiN.com to fine-tune your sports betting and check out our subscription options starting at just $22 per month. That's VSiN.com. Welcome back to the show. It is Betting Across America. We are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you, and happy to bring on to the program our VP of digital content. That's Ben Fox. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Happy Friday. I got to say, Pritch, I feel like I'm disappointing you a little during NFL season. I was adding to that background It's been a couple months now with news and post Super Bowl, but it's going to come over the summer. I'll get a couple more things going there.
No, it looks great, man. You're doing a great job. And so you've been a busy guy too. So I can understand the time here for you. But speaking of busy, how about betting across America, kind of picking up with more added states here to the mix?
Yeah, so we should say just fresh, hot off the presses, New Jersey also reporting their March numbers, $860 million. So that's their fourth highest handle ever. That just came down a few minutes ago. Yesterday, the big news, Arizona legalizing sports betting, becoming state number 27, plus Washington, D.C. to legalize. Again, important just because more than half the states, again, have legal sports betting. We now have 21 states operational, Virginia, North Carolina. Earlier this year, we'll have a couple more coming online later this year. And kind of two big things for us, certainly, DraftKings, obviously important for VSiN, going to build a sports book at TPC Scottsdale. So that will be interesting, certainly, kind of have a one of the rowdier PGA events. The DraftKings will have a sports book there. And I think really interesting as well, FanDuel announcing that they're building a sports book at the Suns Arena. That will be, again, a trend that we start to see more and more with professional sports teams who had partnerships with sports betting companies now building actual sports books in arenas. We've seen that in Washington, D.C., with the Washington Wizards and Capitals having an arena there. DraftKings, I believe, is going to have an arena, a sports book at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And this will be a latest one in Phoenix. So again, a lot of news surrounding Arizona and legalization.
Well, and Ben, not only teams, right, getting connected to sports books, what about leagues? I mean, break down what's going on with the NFL and this new deal that they have with sports books.
So, yeah, NFL, again, as we said, I've been busy. That's why we haven't been adding to the background. Yesterday as well, NFL becoming the last league, the last professional sports league of the Big Four to sign as official sports betting partner with sportsbooks. So they signed with DraftKings, they signed with Caesars, they signed with FanDuel. And this, again, you'll see some expanded use of the team logos on sportsbook sites. I think you'll see more integration of those logos and odds and things on NFL.com, potentially, let's say, an NFL red zone, which, again, when you're getting to the end of the game, that's why fantasy and gambling, where a lot of people are watching the end of those games on NFL Sundays. So I think that will be exciting. You know, I think for people who've been kind of in the game, and we have James, it's a we'd be remiss not to say that, 8-9 years ago, the NFL was suing the state of New Jersey over, sports betting and the irreparable harm that they could do. And now there's an NFL team playing in Las Vegas, and they've officially signed as a sports betting partner with sports betting companies. So not sure where the irreparable harm has gone, but I think certainly the money talks, and now the NFL is on board with sports betting.
Oh, those good old partnerships right there. I mean, the shield, integrity of the game, right? Unless you can partner up with the industry. And I think that's what the National Football League is indicating. It's a growth opportunity, really, when you think about it, guys, because could we see live in-game odds during a broadcast now that the league has partnered up in this way?
I think I'll go, and then James can hit on it too. I think we'll probably see this more in alternate broadcasts,
okay,
as opposed to, let's say, the main ones on CBS or other things, at least initially to start. I think once you start getting those three-man boosts, it gets complicated, especially in-game and how quickly it moves. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll see more and more betcasts, kind of like ESPN did with the playoff game last year. I think that'll become more of a staple, certainly, going forward.
Yeah, and Ben, I think we'll start to see some of that potentially, like you were talking about, maybe those alternate broadcasts. I think the challenge depends on the sport, because like basketball, if you bet in-game basketball, it moves so quickly, and then there's a delay. At least there's a delay, especially for somebody like me who works off satellite. There's definitely a delay from what is actually transpiring live at the arena or at the field to when it actually bounces here to my signal to see it. So if you're trying to put live odds odds up there in real time. That I think that might complicate matters. But I think coming back from TV breaks, coming back from commercial breaks, right, TV timeouts, those kind of things, and definitely things like second half lines going forward, maybe a bit of – maybe there's going to be some more dialogue about that for the announcers as they go in to start the second half talking about the game, but also maybe potentially start talking about what that number is at halftime.
Yeah, and then the global impact too, because there's sports books like if you go to Wembley Stadium, I believe, or in Mexico, I believe, do those stadiums have sports books inside?
That's a good question. I got to get back to London and find out. But they usually have it, I think, inside.
Okay.
Especially for soccer matches too.
Yeah, yeah. So just the growth of sports and the industry right there. You can see the partnerships. So just always developing, very fluid, and a very busy man, Ben Fox. Thanks again for your time today.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. James, I mean, just the growth aspect of this situation, your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, I just, for somebody who's been betting on sports since the 80s and it coming out, having to go and, you know, having code numbers, so many different things. Everything was so underground back then, right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not above board, and unless you were in Nevada, which I wasn't. And, you know, it was a lot of hoops you had to jump through to try to get these things going. And I know the advent of offshore wagering, those kind of things always existed. But now it's not as taboo. Now I don't have to. Sports betting for me has always been something that's completely separate part of my daily life that most people aren't even familiar with, that I haven't even done, or even any of the success that I've had. So right. It's great that we're coming more mainstream, and it's become more of a socially accepted practice.
Absolutely. The growth continues. When the show continues, we're going to get some final picks and maybe some leans. It's coming up next. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with the chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Clippers versus 76ers game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details, and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if either team hits a three. It's a new customer offer and paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line 800-889-9789 in Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, afternoon basketball in the association, Indiana-Utah. Utah kind of closing in on them now, 89-84. That's the score that I have at this present moment. Maybe some developments as well in this game.
Yeah, Spider Mitchell went down a handful of minutes ago. Went down with a really sprained ankle. He rolled over that right ankle pretty good, wow, trying to jump up and deflect the pass, some outlet pass there, and came down hard. Came down really, twisted it good. He couldn't put any pressure on it, so had to be helped off the floor. No pressure on that ankle. He's had some ankle injuries in the past. I think if anything for the Jazz right now, it's, and like most teams, right? We want to, the stretch run is here. You just got a handful of games left. A few weeks left to get to the finish line of the grind of the NBA season, especially the grind of the second half, mm-hmm, post All-Star break of the NBA season. I think the thing for the Jazz, we talked about them earlier, right? Their soft schedule going up basically through the end of the month. Not a whole lot of tough teams on the schedule here, so I think his presence not being there, plenty of talent, plenty of players to step up in his absence while he's gone, but something to keep an eye on because it looked like Mitchell might be out for quite a while.
Wow, they're fired up a little bit apparently, because it's tied up to end the third quarter now. You know, this could do a lot of things for Utah in terms of Maybe other guys stepping up. The thing about Utah is they have depth. I mean, Clarkson, he's a sixth man of the year type of guy, right? And you got to manage the guard situation too with Conley. So, you know, hopefully we're hoping for the best, certainly for Mitchell. But, you know, for Utah's standpoint, you know, pushing for that number one seed at home field advantage, they've been so great playing there at home this year.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, it'll be able to have it throughout the Western Conference playoffs, going and having to go to Salt Lake. You know, a lot of distractions for teams having to travel there for a longer series, right? So lots of things to do in Salt Lake City for the visiting opponents during the playoffs to lose their minds with, right? We've seen that in the past, yeah. But I think for the Jazz, yeah, I think there definitely is a push, for starters, right? The elevation there and the thinner air. But also I just the fact that the Jazz, I think they really wanted to redeem themselves of how they went out in the playoff bubble last year against the Nuggets, right? Just so close to closing, 3-1 finish, could not close them out. And they've been stewing on that all offseason long. And, yeah, you talked about the depth. Absolutely, it's depth. It's Spider Mitchell's a tremendous player and such a great shooter, scorer, facilitator, brings an edge to him, a great energy that his teammates feed off of, but plenty of depth on within that roster to step in there. You talked about Clarkson. He's giving him some edge right now. He was ball in the last few minutes to close the game. I think it's tied now going into the third or going into the fourth quarter, I believe. But yeah, plenty of depth. They're going to sustain as long as it's nothing debilitating. If it's a sprained ankle, sit out for a few weeks. The schedule's pretty soft for Utah going through basically the close of April as well. So I don't think it's going to be anything significant as long as there's nothing more than just a simple sprained ankle for Spider Mitchell.
Right. And an extra motivation too for the Jazz. I mean, we saw the story. Gobert, you know, shouldering the blame, I guess, for the whole shutdown last year. And, you know, look, athletes, they keep that stuff. You know, those are chips that you put. And so there's no coincidence to me. I mean, I think you see this Utah Jazz basketball team playing so well. But I think, like you mentioned, Mitchell being a big part of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as the deal with Gobert, I think just being dismissive of it, I think that was really that was his attitude. And, you know, you better if he's going to use that as a chip, man, then, you know, you got to own that, too. You got to own your behavior and understand that this was far bigger than basketball. And your dismissive attitude didn't play out over the not only the long term, but even the short term. Mm-hmm. Right. Was short sighted for Gobert as far as that goes. But, yeah, I mean, I just the Jazz, this is a very this team has great chemistry. They have fire. I think definitely what happened to them in the playoff bubble, not closing and finishing, has really invigorated and inspired them to play. And they share the ball. I think that's it. Yeah, they can score at all three levels, but the way that they share the ball, because it doesn't have to be whether it's Spider Mitchell or Conley, they don't have to have somebody have to pour in 25 or 30 every night. They can get it from so many different players up and down that roster that it's a team that's built for a tough 7-game series throughout the playoffs. And if you get to stay home, I know obviously the travel is going to be impactful this year because you are going to be back traveled. There are no more playoff bubble this year. You will be traveling each series, but when you get to play, and if it is that seventh and decisive game, get to play that in your own arena, especially in a place like Utah, definitely an advantage for the Jazz, and it has been all season long.
Okay, we continue leans and picks here. Updating score first, Braves on top of the Cubs, still 4-2. How about the Cardinals and the Phillies, James? The Phillies are back at home. They're minus 140. The total is 8.
Yeah, looking at the Phillies, I mean, interesting to come back home, right? They got off to a great start playing at home, and were able to – they beat it. You know, got to play the Braves and the Mets and went 5-1 against the Braves and the Mets at home. Then they go travel to play the Mets and the Braves, and they come back from the road trip sitting at 1-1, you know, going 1-5 on that trip. So I think they'll be happy to get back home here. And but I like the Phillies in this spot. I was looking at it earlier. Let me check the number here. It was $1.45 earlier, and, you know, I like to try to find more of the either lower juice and or more playing the dogs here. But I think the Phillies coming back home, I'm just not a big believer in the Cards lineup for starters. And then to me, this is more so going to be a play against Carlos Martinez. I know he's been control has always been one of his issues, and he can tend to be a loose cannon sometimes. He's had decent control all so far this year, but now you're going to go on the road and you're going to play a Phillies team that is looking to redeem themselves was at the plate, not playing well, and going 1-5 on that trip within the division. Now you're going to play a Cards team with really a weak hitting lineup. I know that Arenado's gotten off to a good start here, but you know, it's not a team that drives the baseball and is going to put up a lot of runs and string together a lot of hits here. I think the Phillies sitting here at $1.45. This is a bet against Carlos Martinez. I think the Phillies will have a good approach to him. They'll get out, take some pitches, make him have to give in to you, get ahead in the count, and be able to drive the baseball here. I like the Phillies at home laying the $1.45.
Okay, we talked about this game earlier. The Mets and the Rockies postpone a game that we actually previewed earlier. The Blue Jays and the Royals, that has now been postponed. And then throw in the White Sox and the Red Sox postponed as well.
Yeah, weather. So everything that was hitting here is obviously going across the country. Yeah. It's April. This is, I know they built in some of those Friday off days for some of these games so they could deal with potential weather. Obviously, that didn't happen. It didn't happen last week. It's happening this week. And we know April's a really wet month across the country in a lot of states that have Major League Baseball teams. So unfortunately, yeah, I really like that minor prop with the Royals today and going against him as far as being able to go six innings. But obviously, that's off the board. So that'll be refunded. No big deal there, but yeah, as far as at least with, I think if anything, learn a good lesson from that Mets situation from last week when they were playing the Marlins, where they actually started the game. I don't know, did Stroman threw like 8, 9, 10 pitches. It was pouring, and then they pulled him out, pulled everybody off, put the tarps on, never ended up playing again. Hopefully, they're learning a lesson and just getting ahead of it instead of trying to drag these out. Plus, the fact that Pritch, we're not having that; it's not impactful for the fans. We're not having full stadiums there, so I know sometimes they'll try to. Even if you're not within your own division or even within your own league, they want to try to get those games in. Makeups can be tough, but it's so early in the season and it's not impactful for fans because it's limited capacity in the stadiums. Good. Get ahead of it early and then we can move on and find some other games down the board. It's for us as sports bettors.
Absolutely. Continuing with leans and picks here in the association. How about the Clippers and the 76ers? Both these teams playing well, winning a lot of games lately. James, what do you have here?
Yeah, I was looking at, it's up to 3 now. It was 6 or sitting at 2.5. Money's coming in on Philadelphia, at least out here at BetMGM in Colorado. Now Philly's sitting at, or the Sixers, excuse me, sitting at 3. The total's ticking up to 220.5. Okay. I just feel like here for Philly, I'm surprised this. I know with Embiid, I think this is where with the Clippers, I just don't feel the sense of urgency out of the Clippers. We know they've got some injuries, too. Whether Kawhi Leonard is going to play or not, he's been nursing a foot injury. But this feels like a Philly. I like the spot for Philly here. It's a low number at home. I know with Tobias Harris, questionable to play. But I think that's better for them defensively. That's one of the few players on that team that doesn't defend. I think with Embiid back, he's been playing very well since he's got back, right? 30 points, 9 boards a game since he's come back his last 5 games.
That MVP
and then
push,
Doc
maybe.
Rivers. I think this is... Yeah, the MVP push. I think it's a tough matchup for the Clippers. Ibaka's going to be out, so are they going to put Zubac on? Are they going to put Zubac on him to have to guard Embiid? I think it's a tough matchup for the Clippers. I don't know if the urgency is there for the Clippers either. They're trying to limp their way through the final stretch of the NBA season. I like Philly here. It seems like a short number. It was 2.5. It's up to 3. I get the move. And regardless of I'll wait till closer to game time. I think I do that with every NBA game, making sure all players are available.
Right.
But here with Philly, Doc Rivers, they got beat in Los Angeles a few weeks back, but that was without Embiid. I think the Doc Rivers angle, too, he has intel on that personnel. I like the spot for Philly. I'll be betting the Sixers tonight.
Does he look like that knee still bothering him a little bit, though, talking about Embiid? I mean, it just looks like he's laboring at times.
He always looks like he's laboring, doesn't he? I mean, he's this, you know, he's a big body and he's had a lot of injuries, back injuries, knee injuries. So he has a lot of a tough injury miles on him. So he always looks like he's laboring to me. But once he gets the ball and he's ready to hoop, man, he's as tough a matchup as there is in the
NBA. Yeah, he's a great player. Great player. Fun to watch. That'll do it for us today. Great job again, James. Good luck with everything. Enjoy the games this weekend, especially Dodgers and the Padres. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Have fun this weekend, too. Stay safe, Putnam. I'll see you Monday.
Sounds good. My guys in the desert coming up next.